Hey everybody, it's Danny. I want to say thank you for tuning in to the Heartway podcast, and I want to give a special thanks to those of you who are tuning in from really all over the world. We're so grateful that you are a part of our community and that you listen in on an ongoing basis. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, I want to ask you to share this with a friend. You never know the impact that one of these messages can have in another person's life. And if you yourself have been impacted and you'd like to continue to partner with us to keep this work going, check us out at heartwaychurch.com/give. Every dollar that you give goes a really long way towards helping us do what it is that we do. Well, we love you. Really hope you enjoy the podcast.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. I am so excited to be here with you all, and I miss you so much, but I'm very grateful that I get the opportunity to be here with you all today. I want to say thank you to anyone and everyone that was at my workshop virtually through Zoom. That was really fun, and I hope that you all enjoyed some of that, some of the yoga practices that we did as well. I'm hoping that we can do that again, maybe even add in some kid yoga to kind of gives a little break to the parents. I know you guys are working hard right now. So I just want to give you guys all a moment of peace right now where we can just settle down, let go of any worries that we have. And if you're in a funk right now where your creative juices just really aren't going, I want us to just let that go now and open ourselves up so that we can receive God and we can open ourselves up to receive that miracle, because we have everything inside of us is the same that is all over in this entire universe. So the miracles that you see on a daily basis, just nature, kindness, all of that, that love is within you as well. So know that anything that you want to create or manifest, all you have to do is believe in that, see that, and align it with God, and know that it can come into fruition. So let's get started. Have a comfortable seat and bring the palms facing down or up. Allow the eyes to gently close, and let's bring the chin slightly down. So you don't want the chin too far down, just slightly. Allow the head to rise up a little bit as if it's being pulled by a string. And together, let's take a deep inhale. Fill up the belly. Allow the breath to rise up the chest, shoulders back, and then exhale. Again, slowly take another deep inhale, filling up the belly slowly, allowing the breath to rise up. Allow those shoulders to go back, and then exhale. One more time at your own pace. Slowly deepen the breath. And as your breath rises, begin to scan the body. Notice if you're holding any tension anywhere. And as you exhale, vocally let it go. Bring yourself to stillness. Bring your awareness to your breath and remove any distractions. So when the mind begins to wander, just bring your awareness right back to the breath, removing anything that is not serving to you right now. And let's open our heart up and ask God now to join us fully, filling up our heart, being filled with His Spirit. And let's let go of any weight that we've been holding on to. Together, let's slowly take another deep inhale, filling up the breath, allowing the breath to rise up, shoulders back, and then exhale vocally. Take a moment now to notice how you're feeling. Begin to notice what is going on deep within you, not only externally, not only the things that you tell people, but truly deep within your soul, how are you doing? Notice what is coming up. And then together, let's take another deep inhale, slowly filling up the belly, allowing the breath to rise up, shoulders back, seal the lips, and then through the nose, exhale. Allow the breath to settle you down a little bit more. Allow the breath to bring you back to this present moment. Allow your heart to be open. Open to receive God's love. Now let's bring our left hand to our heart. And I want you to inhale and feel the heartbeat. And as you're breathing in, I want you to ask yourself, what do I want? And then exhale. Again, slowly deepen the breath. Really feel your heart and then ask yourself, what is it that I desire? Really inhaling in and then vocally exhale. One more time. Slowly breathe in and ask yourself one more time, what is it that I want? And as you envision this, have this in your mind, gently exhale. Allow the hand to come down if you'd like. And as you have this beautiful image in your mind, connect yourself to God now. And whatever it is that you are wanting, whether it be an emotional, a material, or a spiritual thing, whatever it is, visualize this now and connect this with God. Meaning that whatever it is that you're seeing, you can connect it with God's will, knowing that the miracle is also within you. And you can co-create whatever it is that your heart desires. Together, let's take another deep inhale, filling up the belly. And then exhale, coming back to the breath. Now, I want you to feel whatever it is that you want. If it's something regarding your health, notice how having this will make you feel. If it's something to do with your career, notice what this shift would be like. Whatever it may be, now I want you to feel what having this would mean to you. Connect back to your breath. Connect back to this moment. And as you see that which you desire, let's disattach to the outcome. Let's only become connected to what it is that we have to do to receive what we wish to have. So all that we can control are the actions, not what comes after. So do not become attached to the outcome. Just worry right now, focus now on the vision, on what it is that you wish, on what you desire. Taking another deep inhale, filling up the belly, allowing the breath to rise up, shoulders back. This time, seal the lips. Exhale through the nose. Take a moment to connect back with yourself. And now, as you are deep within yourself, deep within your soul, aligned now with God, connect back and ask yourself why it is that I want this. Why do I desire whatever it is? And as you hear the answers or you feel the emotions that come up, connect back to the breath. No need to attach. We only connect back to our breath, to our moment. But know that the power is also within you. You always have a choice to see life through God's lens. If there is something in your life that is not serving to you, maybe this stillness that God has granted us is the time to make those changes. Connect back to yourself. Connect back to your truth. Now that you have the stillness with no distractions, connect to God. Connect Him right to your heart, to your spirit, and allow yourself to be filled up with love and with clarity. Together, let's take another deep inhale, filling up the belly, allowing the breath to rise up, shoulders back. Vocally, exhale. Take another moment here, connecting back to yourself. And as we ask God to remove any distractions, we open our heart up, we open our mind up to see all the miracles right in front of us, to see that we ourselves are a miracle, and that whatever we believe, we can create. Find peace in this. Find strength in this. Connect to your stillness. Be one truly with yourself. And let go of anything that is standing in your way from aligning to your higher purpose, to that purpose that aligns with God. Now slowly bringing your awareness back within, taking a deep, slow inhale, you fill up the belly, allow the breath to rise up, and when you're ready, with a smile on your face, exhale. Take a moment to feel this peace, to feel the gratitude that is settling on you. And when you're ready, gently blink open the eyes. May peace and grace always be with you. Amen, my friends, and so much love. Thank you all. Happy Sunday.
Good morning, Heartwave family. Thank you for joining us this weekend as we continue to explore the rule of life that we have adopted here at Heartwave. As I had mentioned last week when we began this series, the rule of life is something that began within the earliest Christian monastic communities as a way of binding these communities together over a set of shared practices and values. So the word rule literally in the Latin means pattern. Pattern of life, pattern of living. So our rule of life here at Heartwave consists of the practices, the principles, the values that unite us together as a church. And so we're going to jump right in. Last week, we started with the first five on our list. Today, we're going to go over three more of these principles. And then next week, we'll finish off with the last three. So let's do it. Number six. Prioritizing love over doctrine and praxis over theory. I don't know about you, but the kind of Christianity that I was exposed to was very rigid with its beliefs. In other words, believing the right doctrines was considered to be a foundational aspect of what it meant to be Christian. So much so that if there were other Christians who were teaching false doctrine, I felt like it was a part of my faithfulness to God to point them out and to correct them in their errors. In fact, in a lot of the classes that I took in seminary, the way that we were taught to present the faith to others was more about proving that our faith was right and that our beliefs were correct than it was about actually listening and understanding other people with compassion. It was more about defending the faith, which of course would put me in a combative stance against other Christians and also other people who simply did not believe the same things that I did. And of course, this list of beliefs that needed to be adhered to was very long. Beliefs about the afterlife, beliefs about the Bible, beliefs about the nature of God, beliefs about the end of the world. And the reality is, a large segment of Christianity still functions this way today. Very dogmatic, very doctrinal in its orientation. These are the essential, non-negotiable beliefs that you have to believe in order to be in the group. And if you don't believe these things, then you can't be in the group. What's crazy about that is everybody, all of the thousands of different Christian denominations, have a different idea of what these lists of beliefs are. They all say that there are different essential and non-negotiable beliefs that need to be adhered to. I remember getting to a point when I was just so frustrated in my search for answers in the Bible. I would read hours and hours the works of scholars and theologians, and I would read commentaries and books after books, and I would listen to a bunch of sermons and podcasts trying to fit everything that I read in the Bible together into one cohesive system, trying to find what that one true meaning was of the biblical text. And I remember getting to a point where I was over it. And I finally thought to myself, it cannot be this hard to discover the truth. I mean, if having the right belief or having the right interpretation is so important, then why is it so hard to find it? And why do all of the scholars disagree? And so eventually that just led me to asking more questions. And then I asked more questions after that. And then I asked more questions after that until finally I had no more use for answers. I became okay living with the questions. And you want to know what happened when I became okay living with the questions? When I let go of my need to have all of the answers, I also let go of my need to be right. I also let go of my need to try and convince others of what was true. And I also let go of my need for certainty. And life became a lot simpler after that, because at that point, I could simply focus on love. And then you come to see that it's very possible to have the right Christian beliefs and yet have zero resemblance of Christ in the way that you treat other people. So there has to be something that matters more than simply the way that we arrange our mental furniture up here in our mind. Jesus told the story in several of the Gospels about the Good Samaritan. It's a story about a man who was lying on the side of the road. He was hurt. He needed help. And there was a priest who saw him there as he was walking down the road, but he decided to simply pass over to the other side and not help this man. Then there was a Levite who came, and he saw this person on the side of the road, but he too decided to simply pass over on the other side. The priest and the Levite, by the way, were religious leaders within the Jewish community. However, there was a third person in this parable that Jesus told. And that person was the Good Samaritan. And this Samaritan, as he walked by and noticed the person who was hurting, decided to stop and help him and nourish him and be there with him in his suffering. And then Jesus says to his audience, this person, he gets it. He understands what God is all about. God is all about love. So go and do likewise. Follow this person's example. Here's what's crazy about this story that Jesus tells. Jesus was speaking these words to a Jewish audience, and Jews and Samaritans did not get along. First and foremost, the Jews considered the Samaritans to be lesser than because they did not have pure Jewish blood. They mixed and mingled their blood with foreigners. So there were race problems between the Jews and the Samaritans. Now, on top of that, they both disagreed about their forms of worship and theology. So there were religious problems between the Jews and the Samaritans. And then on top of that, they also disagreed a lot about the way they were supposed to arrange themselves as a society. So there were political problems between the Jews and the Samaritans. And yet, it was this person who had a different race, who had a different kind of worship style and theology, who had a different kind of politics, that Jesus said knew the heart of God. What does that tell us about what really matters to God? So many of us only have a faith that is abstract. It's just theory. But that means nothing if it does not become practice, if it's not something that you embody in your everyday life. If you really want to grow deeper in your spiritual life, let me tell you something. Forgiving others, loving others, being kind to others will teach you more about God than reading any book ever will. Being still will teach you more about God than listening to even the greatest sermon. And we preach some pretty good sermons here at Heartway. But the way of Christ is the way of love. You come to know God by loving God and loving others, which is why we prioritize love over doctrine and practice over theory, because we really want to take the word and allow it to become flesh in and through us. Let's look at the next item on our list. Number 7, living a non-judgmental lifestyle rooted in patience, acceptance, gratitude, and love. And by the way, the only way that this is possible is if you begin with yourself. Judgment is the root of all suffering. And the judgment that brings us the most suffering is the judgment that we bring towards ourselves. See, most of us have an image in our minds of who we are supposed to be. We have this picture of who we desire to be, who we wish we could be in this world. And the issue comes when we begin to compare who we are with this image and projection of ourselves that we have in our mind. And so, of course, when we play that comparison game and we notice that there's a gap between who we are and who we want to be, we fill ourselves with shame, with guilt, with a lack of self-worth, with judgment. All because we've never been told that who we are right now in this moment is enough. Ever since we were young, our parents, people in school, our culture has constantly bombarded us with this message that we are not enough, that we should act like this, that we should be like this, that we need to make these kinds of changes. What I want you to know this morning, the good news that Jesus came to bring, is that in the eyes of God, you are enough. There's this wonderful story in the Jewish tradition about a rabbi named Zuya. And Zuya passed away and he appeared before the judgment seat of God. And as he was there waiting for his turn to be judged, he started getting nervous and antsy because he was thinking through his life and he was thinking about all that he did not do, all that he could have done better. And he began to imagine that when God would appear before him, God would ask him, why weren't you more like Moses? Why weren't you more like Solomon? Why weren't you more like King David? And yet, to this rabbi's surprise, when God appeared before him, he only asked this simple question. Why weren't you yourself? Why weren't you yourself? God does not expect you to be anybody else other than who you are, because who you are is exactly who God has created you to be. This is why the scriptures say that God is full of grace. God's mercies are new every morning. God's love endures forever, because regardless of what you may think is wrong with you, God sees you as a perfect reflection of himself. See, the issue is we have been taught to believe that if we give ourselves this kind of grace, we'll never change. If we don't feel bad about ourselves, if we're not hard on ourselves, then we'll never grow. We'll never make progress. But the truth is, all that does is create a conflict and a war within yourself. You can't ever guilt yourself into a healthier way of living. You'll never be able to judge yourself into healthier habits and decisions. The only way that growth happens is by loving yourself at whatever stage you may find yourself in right now. When you're able to look at your life and say, you know what, regardless of whatever emotions and stresses and issues I may be feeling in this moment, this is where I am. And where I am is okay, that's when your healing journey truly begins. The problem isn't that we make mistakes. It's that we refuse to accept ourselves when we do. When you meet the ego with guilt and shame, you add to its fuel. But when you meet the ego with love and compassion, you diffuse all of its power. This is why the Protestant reformer, Martin Luther, made this very controversial statement in his day. He said, "Sin boldly and believe in Christ more boldly." Sin boldly, but believe in Christ more boldly. In other words, there is no sin, no fault, no screw up, no mistake that you could ever make that could ever stop God from loving you. There is no problem that you have created that is irreversible and that can steer you off of the destiny that God has in store for your life. This is why St. Augustine also had a similar concept with his notion of felix culpa. Felix culpa is a Latin phrase that means happy faults. Happy faults. You messed up. You did something wrong. You did something that you think you should not have done and you're beating yourself up about it. No, no, no. You don't have to succumb to guilt and fear when you fall into those unhealthy patterns, because God uses everything. Even our sin, even our screw-ups, even our faults, God uses everything to bring us into a deeper experience of his love and forgiveness and compassion in our lives. And if that's the case, if this kind of good outcome can come out of something bad that we do, why should we be ashamed of ourselves? Why should we hate ourselves for doing the things that we do? No. God accepts us and God loves us exactly the way that we are. And all of those weaknesses and all of those flaws that you judge yourself for, those are the very things that God uses to bring you closer to himself. You know, so much changed for me the moment I came to the recognition that I don't have control over anything, including myself. And I know that may sound odd to some of you listening, but from my experience, even though it may seem like I have the illusion of control, at least over myself, if I really do have control over myself, why do I always do things that I don't want to do? If you have control over yourself, why do you constantly do the very things that you don't want to do and that you get mad at yourself about? Paul talked about this dilemma within himself in Romans chapter 7, and he said, "When I do the things that I don't want to do, in that moment, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me." Notice the disassociation. Notice the disidentification that Paul makes between himself and his thinking and his doing as a human being. See, all of us, we're just like kids. We're just like children. Children don't choose to react the way that they do. They simply react on the basis of what they've seen and learned and picked up over time through their environment and their influences. In the same way, we don't choose to get triggered. We don't choose to react the way that we do all of the time. These things happen automatically as a result of what's happening within us at a subconscious level. We do what we do and think how we think because of our experiences and our background and our pain. So if I respond to myself by judging myself, all I'm gonna do is become more frustrated and more miserable. But if I respond to myself with love and compassion, that allows me to be more patient with myself. That allows me to bring understanding to myself. And then I can begin to really see why I have developed the patterns and the habits that I have, which then makes it a lot easier for us to let them go and begin our journey towards healing. Here's the last one we're going to cover today. Number 8, embracing love and suffering as our greatest spiritual teachers. Embracing love and suffering as our greatest spiritual teachers. Interestingly enough, these are the two things that we try to avoid the most as human beings. And we do that to try and protect ourselves. But avoiding suffering And avoiding love doesn't ever really protect you, because when you try and escape from your suffering, all you're doing is really making it worse. And when you shut yourself off to love, when you close down your heart, the mind becomes a very dark place to live in. You see, all of our suffering stems from the belief that whatever it is we're experiencing right now shouldn't be happening. All of our suffering comes from our resistance to change. And yet, as much as the mind kicks and screams when things aren't going our way, I don't think there is anything better for the soul than us getting to that place where no matter how hard we try, there is nothing we can do to change the situation, because in that moment, we are forced to face reality as it is. Suffering transforms us because it brings us to the end of ourselves. In a way, you have to go through all of the fear and the pain and the stress and the heartache until you finally get so tired of everything that you simply let go and surrender. That's the beauty of suffering. It's scary to surrender. It's scary to let go. But when you become willing to open yourself up to God in that way, even the worst suffering becomes a gift, because now you are able to see God's hand in all of it. You're able to look beneath the surface of what's happening to the depths of what God is doing. When somebody hurts you, you're not just seeing human action. You look beyond that to the divine action in and through what is happening, and it nourishes your soul. That's what makes love and suffering so difficult. It's that both love and suffering require us letting go. Love requires the letting go of expectations, and suffering requires the letting go of control. But you'll never be able to let go of these things until you realize how pointless it is to try and hold on to them. People will never live up to your expectations, and true love does not require them to. I know for myself, I had to get disappointed over and over and over again in my relationships and friendships until I could finally get to the point that I realized it was really me disappointing myself the whole time. I disappointed myself by expecting other people to be somebody other than who they were. I disappointed myself by looking for someone else's love and approval to fulfill me instead of God's and my own. So all of the hurt that I've experienced from my relationships have eventually come to show me that no amount of love from the outside can ever make up for a lack of love on the inside. That's when the light bulb turned on for me, and I started to notice that all of my relationships are simply a reflection of myself. Anything that you strongly react to in another person is also present within you. And when you know this, now when you're triggered, instead of placing demands and expectations on others and launching out in judgment towards others, you simply choose the humble path of quietly working on yourself, because you have come to know through your experience that all of your problems can be fixed from the inside, because that is where they are created in the first place. Love is our true nature. And any blockage that we may have in loving others simply comes from not loving ourselves. And so my prayer for you is that regardless of what you may be feeling and experiencing in this moment of time, that you would be gentle with yourself, that you would be patient with yourself, that you would give yourself the same room to fall and stumble as God does. Because God is full of grace and mercy. And the truth is, there really is no such thing as a mistake, because God utilizes everything to bring about his purposes in our life. I want to finish up by reading one last passage of scripture from the book of Romans, chapter 5. It says this: "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to be patient, and patience develops strength of character in us. and helps us trust God more each time we use it until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. Then, when that happens, we are able to hold our heads high no matter what happens and know that all is well. For we know how dearly God loves us, and we feel this warm love everywhere within us because God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Amen.